This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
We are commercial-free with the Expressway. We have other football tickets to hook you up with here on Sean and RJ every morning. It's going to be Renegades tickets. That's coming up for Turning It On, Leaving It On. That is what Tolo stands for. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell, along with Peyton and Aiden in the back. And draft time is heating up. And we have a big event on Thursday night here in the building, Bob.
We do. We are going to be doing Draft 101 here on Thursday night, and doors will open at 6:45. It's free. You guys can come out. No sign-up required. Nothing like that. Just come on out. Hang out with us. It'll be me, Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk. We'll have a night of draft talk, debate, everything else. Free food from Whataburger, so we'll get you guys fed as well. And we're also going to have a couple signed items to give away from Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. So it'll be a good time. Come on out.
Everyone not working the draft next Thursday will be at a different Pluckers location if you want to get out and about and enjoy the festivities and the drama of all the picks. I will be in Mesquite. Chiafalo will be in Grapevine. The Great Christie Scales will be in Plano. Gavin Dawson in Addison. Lucius in Arlington. Corey in Allen. Kevin Hagelin in Dallas. Choppy, Fort Worth Alliance.
I would say that's not totally accurate.
Oh, yeah, we need to adjust that.
Be the Roman Coliseum.
Alec Medford, Fort Worth City View. So there you go. Pluckers coverage next Thursday. This Thursday, coming out to the station with some Whataburger and Dak and Lamb items and learn some Draft 101.
I thought they were just going to zoom you in on the big board. Like, that's what you're going to be doing at Pluckers.
Look, I let's see what time it would be. That would probably be like, what?
7 hour difference.
Three. So it would be 3 in the morning by the time sure. The Cowboys pick.
All right. When it comes to drafting, teams have kind of gone towards BPA. Best player available over team need. Just get the best talent. RJ Choppy is going back in time.
Yeah, it's an interesting sort of tug of war that the analytics crews have with each other on what the right way to do it is. And it doesn't mean that one is better, but all that they're trying to do is find inefficiencies in a market. So if the need picks are now running backs. Running backs became so undervalued, they became valuable to take.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of something like that. Doesn't mean that that's like the way that they want it to go. It's just, hey, I don't really need a house right now, but you're going to give me one for a great deal and overpay me for mine?
Yeah.
All right. You know, I can move. And I think that's the situation here.
And then you would get owned well for your property
tax.
You would
get owned well for your property tax. Absolutely. You know, one thing that's kind of talked about is that, you know, teams are really bad at evaluation of talent in general. Now, not individual teams are different. Some teams are just better. Like, some teams are really good at drafting individual positions. The Cowboys, if I were the Cowboys, I'm taking offensive line the first round just about every year. They nail that. You want to take an offensive line. First of all, it's a great pick. It hardly ever hurts you, right? Hardly ever hurts you. And it's relatively safe. But when you're drafting best player available, you're assuming you're right. Well, what if you're wrong? No one ever thinks about what happens if they're wrong. You have just as good of a chance. Again, I'm not saying like, and I think teams fall into this trap. A lot of times they pick quarterback from a need perspective, right? Quarterbacks are taken in the first round. If it wasn't a need, is Shador going in the top 3 or 4 or 5, right? Is Cam Ward going to the top 3 or 4 or 5?
Like, assume no team needs a quarterback.
Assuming
in the
no
draft.
Team needs a quarterback.
So, like, just where's the value?
Yeah.
He probably goes 30s or later.
Shador
mm-hmm.
and Cam?
Similar.
Okay.
Some teams may take him in the 20s.
So throw quarterback out. Every other position. you've got just as good of a chance, assuming that they're all kind of lumped together. I'm not saying like this guy the third round, you know, you could take him in the first and you have just as good of a chance of hitting. That's not true. But when you, you know, when you put these guys and you stack these guys and you put grades on them, the difference between the seventh grade and the 10th, you're looking at, it's minutia. You don't know. You just don't know. So because you don't know, it's very arrogant to say, oh, this guy's going to be better than that guy. That's just an arrogant scout take. Sorry, Broadus. It's just an arrogant take. You don't know that the first defensive tackle is going to be better than the third defensive tackle on your board. There's no way of knowing. Now, again, if there's three-round grades difference, that's different. But if they're all first-round grades, you really don't know. Justin Jefferson was the fifth wide receiver taken.
Yeah, but I mean, Minnesota may have had him as the first receiver.
They
never know.
They might have. They might have. But, you know, the league dictated that he wasn't.
Yeah.
The league said he wasn't. So if you have needs and you're talking about two players that are, if one's a 9-8 and one's a 9-4, don't be arrogant enough to think that your 9-8 is right. Take the need.
Hmm. Okay. That's interesting thinking.
So, like, you know, if you have, you know, the Cowboys need a wide receiver. They need offensive line.
What would you do real quick if you were Jerry and Steven with your scouting department? How would you construct it? Or how many people would you fire?
I wouldn't fire right. I think the scouting department's great. I would just alter how I use the information. I would lean more on positional value.
I think they do, though. Like, I think they, so what they, they've talked about this. Chris Hall gave an interview one time. He was having a conversation. Chris Hall's their assistant director. I can't remember the exact title he has right now, but he's in the scouting department, has been for years. And Chris gave an interview to Neil Stratton from Inside the League, and he was talking about need versus BPA. This was 6-7 years ago. And he had said that the reality is that every team is looking for the blend. They're looking for the best player available at a position of need. That the only time you're really going to truly go best player available over need is like if it's just a blinking light, like this dude slid so far down and
CD.
He's so above. CD was not technically a need when they picked him. But they were like, this guy is so much better than anybody else on the board. It's not close. Yeah. We have to take him. Otherwise, they are generally going with need. They felt they needed a defensive tackle, so they got Mozzie. They felt they needed offensive linemen, so they got Tyler Guyton and Tyler Smith. They generally, I think, do go with need and just say, who's the best player in this range? And if the best player at our need is not in this range, well, like, let's move back a little bit and then take him there and collect more capital.
I think that's fair. I think that, like, I like the position of need. I'm sorry, the best player at a position of need.
Fortunately, for this discussion,
they got a lot.
They have a lot.
They got a lot of needs.
Yeah.
You know, now, do you want to reach for certain positions? Like the, I've changed, but, you know, if you want to take a running back at 12, I won't love it. I'm not going to lose my mind over it, you know, because you are getting the four best years or five best years of the running back. The problem is you are paying them, although now that the running back market has changed a little bit, you're not nearly paying them at the top of the market. I think you would be, Zeke was what, 11th? Zeke was like the 11th highest paid running back his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, he was nowhere close to the top because that's generally where you're going to burn it. Is you would rather get that burn right then.
Right, so that's one good thing about taking the running back high.
So Todd McShay was on the Mina Kiam show, and he was asked to pick in this Cowboys scenario. Tet McMillan and Matthew Golden are both on the board at 12. Todd McShay, pick.
Yeah, I'm happy if I'm the Cowboys. There's no question about it. What the Cowboys will very likely do in that scenario, if it's down to those two picks, is take Tetteroa and McMillan.
Yeah.
It's a compliment. You've got your difference maker on the other side. You look for a big one-on-one guy in Tet. Jump balls. Don't need him to be a great route runner year one. Continue to develop him.
You got to choose.
I'm going to take McMillan. Okay. I'm going to do it because of this situation. But I want to make it perfectly clear to everyone out there that's listening and watching. I would take Matthew Golden given most other circumstances. This is a Dallas thing specifically with their offense, their weapons, Dak style.
All right. So there's McShay, more of a Golden fan. He thinks the Cowboys would take McMillan.
CBS Sports has the Cowboys taking Golden at 12 as well. They have them doing the same thing. And they say he is perfectly suited to play second fiddle the way Jordan Addison pairs with Justin Jefferson, three-level route runner, consistent ability to get open. You know, like, is that a situation of outthinking the room? Like, is, you know, or is it really close? Like, is Tet McMillan that polarizing of a player like Bobby has talked about?
I think in this instance, how are you referring to outthinking the room? Meaning what?
Well, like, is taking Golden because he fits better?
Yes, yes.
As opposed to, like, you know, is he better?
Right. I think that's outthinking it.
Yeah.
To say, all right, he's the better matchup opposite of Lamb.
He's the better two,
yes.
You know, or do you just want he once?
Exactly. I think that's outthinking it to say, all right, he complements CD better, so let's have him on the other side.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with 2-1s.
Nothing wrong with 2-1s, man.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with 2 Tyreeks.
Nope.
I'm not saying it's Tyreek. There's nothing wrong with 2 game breakers. Now,
Chris Carter and Randy Moss did pretty well together.
Well, they were different players.
They were, but yeah. They were like...
But if I had 2 Randy Mosses, I'd be happier.
You'd be happy. You'd be happy with 2 Randy Mosses, yeah.
You know, so I think that's outthinking it when it's like, all right, who complements Lamb better? Just get the best receiver.
Yeah, unless, like we've talked about, if they are at a coin flip position where they go, these guys are right there with each other, and then they go, so all right, like, if they're the same player to us, essentially,
right.
They're just 2 different styles, yep. Let's go with this. I would be surprised if Golden was higher to them, just given the way that they've typically... looked at receivers before.
Do we know how Schottenheimer will view receivers versus McCarthy?
Like, does he view that in terms of his
size,
preferences? Yeah, so
preferences.
I think McCarthy was probably more rigid on things like, if you are a certain size, you can only play in the slot. And I don't know that that's something that Schottenheimer's going to lean into nearly as much. But, yeah, he'll have his preferences for sure, because he's also coached receivers before. There's video right up there on the fan cam right now. Like, this is some of Tet McMillan. And McMillan is just, he's so smooth. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He's not a burner, but when you watch him, he's got a feel for space. He'll get the ball. He's so efficient with the way that he glides, those strides that he has, that it doesn't matter that he's 4-5-5. Like, you see him there. He's pulling away from all the defenders because he is very efficient in his movements and the way he gets upfield. I think he is a pretty much bona fide guaranteed superstar.
So that's he has a higher ceiling.
I think that to me is the second best player in the draft behind Travis Hunter.
What?
Yeah, the top 3 to me are easy. It's Travis Hunter, it's Tet McMillan, and Ashton Jeanty. Those are the 3 best
over
players.
Over Abdul.
Mm-hmm.
And you said superstar.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a superstar.
Woo! Of him and Golden, you're saying Tet has a higher ceiling. Does Tet have a higher floor too?
Probably not, just because of, like, we talk about the testing and different things that Golden has. That's a athletic profile that has projected out better. But they're both still figuring out what kind of players they are. They're both still kind of coming into themselves.
And your Tet comp is who?
Brandon Marshall.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. I was just trying to think of more, like, explosive, big-time ability. Brandon Marshall was a fantastic player. Mm-hmm. No one would think he's the second or third best player in his draft. I was looking for more, like, star potential when you say something like that.
Well, no, and I mean, I think, like, if you were to look and maybe...
You know what I mean? Brandon Marshall was damn good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think when you think about Brandon Marshall, yeah, you may not think of, like, oh my gosh, he had all these Tyreek Hill-type plays, but, like, when you look at over the history of his career, Brandon Marshall was, starting with his second year in Denver, 1,300, 1,200, 1,100, 1,000, 1,200, 1,500, 1,200... Then he had 700, then it was 1,500. But, I mean, he was a machine.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about pairing that with CD and you've got Turpin already here and that's kind of like your gadget role, then, I mean, I think it's a good receiver group.
Man.
Aiden, employee of the week so far, young man. Just get rid of that stupid hat and you'll be crushed. Stepping up, fam. Make us forget Ryan real soon here.
Ooh, with this type of, you did forget him for a sec. Forgot his name.
With this type of performance, fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Well done. All the video. We got a new kid in town.
Brandon Marshall was a fourth-round pick. First receiver that year at 06, Santonio Holmes. Then Chad Jackson.
Chad Jackson?
Sonoris Moss.
Who's Chad Jackson?
He went to Florida.
Okay. And who did he get drafted by? Who he played for?
Patriots. Okay. Second-round pick.
Oh, makes sense. Belichick.
Then Greg Jennings in the second round. All right. That was a good
Greg
pick.
Jennings.
Greg was a good player. Travis Wilson. Derek Hagan. Brandon Williams.
Oh, my goodness.
Maurice Stovall.
Ew.
Willie Reed. Corey Rogers.
Ew.
Jason Avant, Demetrius Williams,
ew,
and then Brandon Marshall at 119, wow, right after Steven Gutkowski.
Man.
The kicker.
All right.